And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's very, very good to be with you this Saturday morning. I kind of thought to myself, what am I going to do when we fall back on time? And it's, anyway, we'll make do. All right, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you want to join me, well, you'll be able to in just a little bit. I came across an article written by Tom Ballard, who's a registered nurse and a naturopath, and I thought to myself, you know, this article is very, very simple and straightforward, and for all I know, this may actually help assist you in your thought process. Maybe you'll think about your body a little bit differently in healthcare. The title of the article is called "Let Food Be Your Green Medicine." Just tell me what you think about this. This is written by Tom Ballard. Did you know that oatmeal lowers cholesterol as well as statin drugs do without the side effects? Or that 4 ounces of legumes a week reduces cancer rates by 22%, which is better than any drug? These and other facts about nutrition are not part of the healthcare debate, which largely focuses on how to pay for drugs, devices, and surgeries. However, people who are proactive about health are practicing another form of health care, and Dr. Ballard calls it green medicine. Those who make their foods into their medicine move health care from the medicine cabinet to the refrigerator, pushing drugs with adverse side effects into a storage box marked for emergencies only. And I agree with that. Good nutrition is perhaps the most powerful medicine we have against chronic disease. Yet it's hardly mentioned in debates over healthcare reform. This must be from ignorance of good nutrition. People in the U.S. alone spend a reported $147 billion annually to treat obesity. And by the way, this article is from 2010, so this is almost over 6.5 years old. They spend $116 billion to treat diabetes. Of course, that number is higher now. And hundreds of billions more to treat cardiovascular disease and the multiple types of cancer that have been linked to the Western diet. One recent study showed that 30% of the increase of healthcare spending over the past 20 years could be attributed directly to the steep increase in obesity, which is directly related to processed carbohydrates and other high glycemic sugared foods and beverages. Imagine restructuring healthcare within a framework that keeps in mind the compelling research that comes out of Dartmouth University, demonstrating that the more, and I just want you to hear this, very, very scientifically factual, the research out of Dartmouth says, or they demonstrate, that the more medical intervention that is based on drugs and some surgeries, the worse the outcome. Did you get that? The more that we focus on drugs and surgeries, the worse the outcome. Also, imagine people who have educated themselves about the proven prevention treatment options involving nutrition. When you pick out a big bunch of chard, or you cook with any organic whole foods, you're a practitioner of green medicine, according to Dr. Ballard. In fact, nutrition outperforms drug treatments for both prevention and the treatment of chronic disease. Why? Well, because the genesis of most chronic diseases can be linked directly to nutritional imbalances, as is proven by scientifically verified therapies that address the nutritional causes of disease. Nutrient-dense foods address core issues, helping to prevent and treat diseases by nurturing vital body processes or bodily systems with the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients they require. It really is just as simple as that. Never underestimate what can happen to your health when you give the body the very substance it's starving for. And if it only has this very substance, then it can do what you want to do, which is to heal. A person who uses nutrition as medicine can prevent or directly treat a long list of chronic diseases or illnesses, which hardly existed 100 years ago, before the introduction of artificial fertilizers and pesticides and industrial food processing. Did you know that heart disease rates were around 4% 100 years ago? So if we go back to the year 1910, 4% of the population had heart disease. Maybe you could say, turn that around and say 96% did not. That is not what we're experiencing today. Right now it's about 50%. I really don't have to be just real observant, but heart disease, it does take lives. And it should not be. Adult onset diabetes at the turn of the 20th century, that'd be 1900, 1901, was very rare. It was considered a rich man's disease. If I'm not mistaken, the occurrence of diabetes in the year 1900 was 1 out of 200,000 people. It is not that way now. All I want you to do is think about this. See, now diabetes is considered an epidemic among the baby boomers. It's a growing problem with children. I actually see more kids with diabetes than I ever have in the 27 years that I've been doing this. All the disease that costs collectively the most money, that's going to be heart disease, diabetes, strokes, obesity, which you're probably thinking right now, well, yes, obesity is probably one of the biggest causes of the first four that I mentioned. Well, you'd be right. Asthma. I think I heard the other day on the radio that 1/3 of all visits to the ER from children is going to be from asthma. Did you know that asthma is growing in incidence and occurrence? Man, that would be terrible to have a child with asthma. I think it would be, especially if it was a more severe version. To finish out the diseases, arthritis, cancer, depression, allergies, irritable bowel syndrome, all are linked directly to what we eat. It's not a coincidence that during the time of rising chronic disease rates over the past 50 years, that the United States Department of Agriculture reports that there's between a 30 to 50% decline in nutrients in fruits and vegetables. Well, think of it this way. Humans eating whole, fresh, organic foods over 1,000 years, and then all of a sudden in the course of a mere 100 years, we have to adjust our metabolism and our body to a convenient diet of pre-made, processed, prepared junk foods that had half its nutritional value. You really think that's a coincidence that as the soil becomes more depleted of nutrients, thus our food doesn't have the nutrients it did 50 years ago, that all of a sudden we have a huge spike and increase of disease? Yeah, how about that? As destructive to health as poor diets are, the curative power of good food is even more remarkable. I actually like that sentence. In one study published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology, this would be a journal that deals with cancer or cancer treatment, women treated for cancer, they have a 50% reduction in relapse risk if they ate 5 servings of vegetables and fruits per day. That's 5. I actually think that could probably be quite easy. You could probably hit 3 servings just with a good salad. Maybe more, depending on the size of the salad. I know you all know this, but just in case you haven't heard this, if a cancer metastasizes, which means it spreads from its primary location, and I'm just going to give you an example. If a cancer spreads from the prostate in a man, and it goes to the bones, those are by far and away the most difficult ones to treat because it's spread. There's a certain amount of potency and vitality that the cancer cells have taken on because maybe the conditions are right for it. If you don't change those conditions, then I'll just give you a for instance. Cancer cells love to eat sugar. If you keep shoveling sugar into the body at a rate that would rival a teenager's consumption of sugar, I don't see how you're going to change that. So here it is. In one study published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology, women that were treated for cancer, they had a 50% reduction in relapse risk if they just ate 5 servings of vegetables and fruits per day. Maybe you've heard nothing else I said. Nothing else really rung true with you. But what if you get the idea that maybe if you eat fruit and vegetables, there could be a better outcome with your health? Yeah. Various studies have found that eating such nutritious foods such as flax seeds, fatty fish, fresh fruits and vegetables prevents and reduces the growth of prostate and other cancers. But how many times has your oncologist discussed that with you? It just begs the question, what is the focus of our health care? Some peer-reviewed research that comes from the country of Holland has found that infants raised on organic as opposed to conventional dairy products, they are more than a third less likely to suffer from allergies. They're over a third less likely to have asthma and eczema in the first 2 years of life. Folks, if you don't know anybody with an autoimmune disease, it's only because you don't know it's an autoimmune disease. Eczema is an autoimmune disease where your body starts to attack itself. That is not what you want your body doing. Other research shows that consuming too little dietary potassium is linked to high blood pressure. See, you get enough potassium by eating in order of, and I'll just go ahead and list them from greatest potassium content to the least content. You ever heard of avocados or sweet potatoes, beet greens, yogurt, halibut, which the last time I looked in the frozen food section at the store, halibut is quite pricey. But oh boy, is it good. Lima beans. I like lima beans. I know a lot that don't, but I like them. Winter squash. And to a lesser degree, bananas. But yes, bananas contain potassium. Did you know that many blood pressure medications actually cause the loss of potassium? Don't you think that's kind of a good set of facts to consider? So what does nutrition have to do with depression, anxiety, and insomnia? We know that blood sugar fluctuations caused by eating processed sweets disrupt brain function. Serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter that most of the antidepressant drugs are designed to increase, is made from protein and with the A to B vitamins. Fish oil also helps move the serotonin to the brain cells. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but a study done years ago, probably back in 2004 or 5, they showed people that were more resistant to seeing progress or improvement with antidepressants, they did a lot better when they took fish oil, better than anything else. Did you know that fish oil has been shown to help move serotonin to the brain cells? Probably 95% of all serotonin is going to be made in the gut. So if your gut's happy, you're probably going to have a happy brain. Now, this is going to sound radical, but I'm just telling you the truth. So take it as encouragement. Don't take it as me picking on you, because I'm not doing that. I want to help you. If your diet is consisting of low-fat TV dinners, I don't really care what the brand name is. Yes, there may be some that have a little bit higher nutritional content, and you're eating Rice Krispie treats all day long, then you're going to have tremendous blood sugar fluctuations. There is nothing that has a higher glycemic index than puffed rice does. So whether you're eating rice cakes, I mean, you could tell me you're putting broccoli and asparagus on your rice cakes. I doubt that. Or you're eating Rice Krispie cereal. But that puffed rice, there's nothing that's going to cause a huger, is that a good word? a larger blood sugar fluctuation than eating puffed rice does. So you want to really mess with your brain? If you took a person that was extremely hardy, I mean, they're bulletproof, and they ate Rice Krispies, you're not going to see much of a change because they have energy in reserve. They've got tremendous strength and energy in the reserve of all their organs. So for them, sure, they could probably eat Rice Krispies and not really see much of a difference. But for the person that's kind of teetering on the edge of maybe mental illness, you talk about throwing gas on a fire, that would be enough to totally disrupt their sleep cycle. Yeah, there's nothing better. Of course, I'm being sarcastic as I say this. There's nothing better than going to bed at 10 o'clock and falling asleep quickly just to wake up at 10:30 wide awake. Man, that's torture. You want to have healthy brain cells? I think it's good to ask questions. So we need to learn about feeding our brain with nutrients that it needs. What about chronic diseases caused by genetic and developmental abnormalities? Isn't that all the rage these days, that everything is genetics? That's probably a comment that I hear very frequently, at least once or twice a month. That's my definition of frequent. There's nothing, the doctor said there's nothing I can do. It's my genes. It's all my genetics. Really? Is that true? I realize that not all genetic abnormalities are nutritional in its genesis. But we now understand that genetics is a code that can be rewritten by nutrition. That means if you put good stuff in your mouth, your genetic code can definitely play out much better commands. Last week, didn't I read to you that cerebral palsy was reduced by 30% when pregnant women consume magnesium? I don't think I've ever heard that on the telephones before. 30%? I promise you, if there was a vaccine that could reduce the occurrence of cerebral palsy by 30%, the government would make it mandatory that every woman on Earth take that vaccine, or if there was a drug. But that's not really the narrative that we're presented every day, are we? There's a condition called spina bifida, in which the vertebrae do not fuse, and there's varying degrees of it, but it's now known to be triggered by folic acid deficiency in the mother. So do you want to suffer from bad genes, or do you want to do something about it? You know, we can inherit unhealthy eating habits because we learn from our parents, right? So what do you do if the mother and the grandmother and the great-grandmother didn't do so hot? Well, you may have to plot a different course of action here. Currently, the conventional medical treatment of chronic disease uses drugs. Oh, we all know that. Just flip on the TV, that's all you'll see are drug ads. If you don't like drugs, maybe there's a medical device. Doesn't everybody need a CPAP machine? Well, if you listen to sleep centers, they do. Who doesn't need a surgery or two to remove all those useless organs? That's one that I heard this week also. The woman told me, she said, what does the gallbladder do? The doctor said it doesn't do anything. And the doctor said, well, what do you think God made the spleen or the appendix? It's useless also. That's just ridiculous. Of course the gallbladder serves a tremendous function. Of course the spleen is necessary. Of course the appendix, it does exactly what God designed to do. And when you remove them, there will be consequences. Currently, the conventional medical treatment of chronic disease uses drugs, devices, and surgeries that focus on diminishing symptoms while ignoring the causes of the problem. Just because you bury your head in the sand doesn't make it not so. But symptoms are really the outward manifestation of disease, not the disease itself. The underlying disease process is what causes the symptoms. Prescribing billions of dollars in drugs and surgeries for that, for instance, they may ameliorate constipation. Sure. You can either take the prescription drug Miralax, or you can go to Walmart and drink antifreeze. Same thing, basically. I did not recommend that you go drink antifreeze for constipation. That's ridiculous. You know I'm being ridiculous. But that's what Miralax is. It's basically a medical version of antifreeze. Could you imagine what would happen to the body if you ate something that was highly tainted with a toxic bacteria? Oh, my word, you might have projectile diarrhea for the next day. Or what if you had that 24-hour stomach bug? What would be a normal course of action within your immune system to rid the body of that viral infection? It may be called vomiting and diarrhea. So does it make sense that if you put antifreeze in the form of a pill into your mouth, that your body may just be very, very offended by that and say, this is poisonous, we need to get rid of it? So yeah, if you're constipated and you take a toxin into your mouth, sure, your body's going to go hog wild trying to remove it. And you call it a normal bowel movement when you take Miralax? Come on. Okay, I don't think I've seen anybody approach Congress as from the fiber lobby. No. So they've got drugs for diverticulitis, they've got drugs for bloating, they've got drugs for gas, you've got spastic bowel, they got drugs for that. A woman yesterday, and I don't really see this very often, so that's why I'm probably making a point out of this, and you take it however you want, but she said there was a gastroenterologist that prescribed a drug, and this drug is called a dopamine agonist. I'm just trying to keep it simple so I don't like... It doesn't appear like I'm singling somebody out. So she's been taking this drug since April. And this drug blocks dopamine. When she went to her regular medical doctor, he just about had a fit over that drug. He says, "What? Did you know, ma'am, that this drug causes Parkinson's disease?" That is probably the last thing that she needs, is a drug that's going to set her up for developing Parkinson's disease later on in life. She's very young right now. But see, I don't see that very often, folks. I really don't. Normally, anyway, I'm going to stop myself before I put my foot in my mouth. Anyway, the same anti-symptom approach of using drugs applies to all of the chronic diseases, including the number one killer, heart disease. High cholesterol and high blood pressure are not diseases, but they're definitely warnings of deeper biochemical imbalances that have been proven to result in part from poor dietary choices. The Mediterranean diet, or the diet from the island of Crete or Greece, for example, offers a 25% reduction in heart disease simply from just the regular consumption of whole grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, and fish. How radical is that? Is there any drug that can do that? No. But we act as if that drugs are the super power of the universe. They are not. Medical insurance typically will pay thousands of dollars a month for drugs. They'll pay thousands of dollars for tests. You can have all the devices that you want, all the surgeries. Yet, they don't really do much for vitamin D levels or locally grown produce or promoting people on high-fiber diets or encouraging, the very things that keep us from needing prescriptions. Dr. Ballard goes on to say that U.S. government policies and subsidies spread misinformation. That means genetic modification is good for us in foods. It is not. Artificial fertilizer is necessary. And, of course, to promote pests. Do you know that Bayer just bought Monsanto? Oh, boy. I won't go into that. Did you know the U.S. government, for instance, subsidizes high fructose corn syrup production in the midst of a multi-billion dollar epidemic of diabetes? Isn't that interesting? You're paying to have people produce high fructose corn syrup, yet this is the highest level that diabetes has ever been in the world. Interesting. I'm sure the two don't go hand in hand. A truly reformed healthcare system would be a coordinated program between agriculture, the food industry, and healthcare, trained in nutrition. We need to ensure that everyone from school children to retirees knows the facts of good nutrition and has access to fresh, affordable, organic foods. Do we need to force people to eat right? No. Everybody chooses. Doesn't the Bible say that without faith it is impossible to please Him? And those that diligently seek Him will be rewarded? You have to want it. If somebody wants to eat junk food, what can you do to stop them? However, If a person decides they don't like the direction they're moving toward and they want to help themselves, well, don't you think that facts and information could be beneficial? An individual's high blood pressure may very well be the result of consuming such things as polyunsaturated oils like corn oil or mazola. I don't know if you know this, but corn oil has been shown to cause tremendous oxidation of LDL cholesterol, which is often called the bad cholesterol. Folks, it's not bad, but if it rusts or oxidizes in your arteries, yeah, that's when it's bad. And so if nobody tells you about the rose corn oil study, where they gave men corn oil that had previously experienced a heart attack, they dropped like flies. They had to stop it prematurely. It's supposed to be a 3-year study. But all these other men that were given bacon and butter and olive oil and avocados and a steak once a week, they didn't have heart attacks. But the ones that were on, quote, the heart-healthy Mazola corn oil or margarine, they were dropping like flies. Okay. You know what empty calories are? It comes from refined sugar or high fructose corn syrup. Would you believe me if I told you that as increased consumption of empty calories, you have more diabetes? What we really need in a true healthcare or health caring system, rather than a medical supply chain that kicks in only after a person becomes sick or diseased or they can't go to work any longer, we might need, and I'm going to quote Michael Pollan. He says, and I quote, "There's lots of money to be made by selling fast food and then treating the diseases that fast food causes." He argues that one leading product of the food industry is creating patients for the healthcare industry. I bet y'all think I'm making that up, don't you? Studies untainted by drug industry dollars show that, despite the hype, few drugs have really undergone rigorous long-term independent tests for safety and effectiveness. Yet that's where the money is going, rather than to the traditional proven healing therapies of food. Let thy food be thy medicine, and let thy medicine be thy food. So chronic disease prevention will come not from a chemist's lab bench, but from our kitchen tables. And that means you get to choose what you eat. Unless, never mind. If you want to join me on the radio, please feel free to call. I have a phone line officially open, and the number here at the station, or at the radio station, this program is called Health Essentials, but you can get in right now if you want to and ask me a question. The number is 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. And if nobody wants to call me, I've got plenty of research to cover this morning. Here's a phone call. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have really enjoyed all that you talked about this morning. I've got my 7-year-old. He's now my son. We've got two things going on. One, he's got a plantar wart that I didn't realize that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's gotten too big. I took him to the doctor day before yesterday, and he said, no, you got to go see a dermatologist and find out what they're going to do about it. So
you mean the doctor took one look at it and said, well, that's kind of out of my league?
Yes.
Okay.
He said it was too big to freeze, and it would be too painful, and this baby's not very big. And then the second thing is his teacher's telling me he's not sitting still, focusing on his work. He's going to the bathroom a lot, and I don't know if it's he's going to the bathroom to go potty so much, or he's getting away from doing work, playing, that kind of thing. He's smart. It's not that he doesn't know what to do or how to do, whatever. So I'm thinking the ADHD is...
Did you catch that little gem about fish oil helps increase absorption of serotonin into the brain cells where it belongs.
Did you catch that?
To me, that's very, very interesting. Now, let me go on to one point. I don't want to be guilty of overpromising, you know, a therapy, all right?
Right.
But, oh my word. I saw a person one time, they had a plantar wart, and the podiatrist said, that is not a problem. I'm going to freeze that sucker off. It'll be gone. It'll never be back. But guess what happened?
It came back.
Exactly. And guess where the location was it came back? Exactly where it was before. It's like, really? You're going to freeze? And then he said, well, I'm going to fix the little red wagon of that plantar wart. Now I'm going to use acid. And so he completely destroyed it once it came back again. So used a little bit bigger gun this time. Well, guess what happened 3 months later? 3 months later.
Came back.
Good guess. It came back. So he said, I am going to fix it this time. It'll never come back. So he did a surgical procedure. It's almost like he took a core sampler, like you might pull a big plug out of a tree. And just shove that in and twist it and just rip the whole plug of tissue out. So it left a big hole in the bottom of the foot right there at the base of the foot or the ball of the foot. And man, he fixed it that time, but because 3 months later, what happened? It came right back again, and it was just a lot of pain and suffering. Now, I had a man call me on the phone. He said, I realize I'm wasting your time, Dr. Morgan, because your therapies, they will not work for me. And I said, wait just a second. They're not mine. They're God's therapies. I'm not smart enough to design fish oil. And so to make a long story short, I gave him a recommendation. I said, my recommendation to you for this plantar wart is to get the cheapest cod liver oil that money can buy. And there's a lot of ways to do this. You could take a piece of sterile gauze. You could saturate in the cod liver oil or the fish oil. And you could tape it to the bottom of your feet at night. He said, how that's going to smell? I said, it's not going to smell very good. But, you know, what are you doing here? You're trying to help your body. So I have seen that work with such a high success rate. I don't even realize why it wouldn't be. Well, I know why it's not talked about. But for the 7-year-old, maybe his immune system is just not able to quite rise to the occasion because of a nutrient deficiency. So why don't we kill two birds with one stone? Why don't we just apply topically cod liver oil to that plantar wart night after night after night and see if what you can do if you want to be real intelligent. See, I never do these things, but I always wish that I had a caliper that would measure the breadth and the width.
Mm-hmm.
Let me guess. This plantar wart on the bottom of the 7-year-old's foot is 150 cubits by 200 cubits wide. Is that correct?
That's the size of your little fingernail.
So, yeah, but if you take a jeweler's loop or a magnifying glass and you look at it, you're going to see the core of it probably has some black specks in it. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. If you will just make sure, we'll call that ground zero. I think that's where the genesis of the nucleus is, or the colony. So that's the center of the root, and it's going to spread out from there. So do you think you can find some creative way to put cod liver oil in contact with the foot where it can stay in contact all night long?
Yes.
Okay. Do that and just give it 3 weeks and let me know if the colony begins to shrink. And you know what? That virus may just decide that it doesn't want to live on its foot anymore. Are you going to be okay with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, what if you gave the child some fish oil orally every single day?
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, if I see a child, I know I'm going to get it for this one, but if I see a child just horribly misbehaving, whereas they were very sweet before, I tend to think parasites. Is there any chance you have cats in the house?
Not in the house, they're outside. He doesn't play with them very much, but they are here. We live out in the country, and I'm not very fond of mice and rats. And
they do a good job with those, don't they?
Yes, they do.
What's the biggest rat your cat's caught?
Oh, I haven't seen a rat. I've only seen mice, so maybe they're scaring the rats away. But
you know what? The exact opposite is true at my house. I just rarely see mice. Maybe that's because the cats eat them before I can have a chance to see them.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, a rat is like the greatest kill of all time for Gus.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Gus is a death machine at my house. If he puts his paw on the ground, you know how the cats kind of flex their paws out?
Yeah.
His hands are bigger than mine.
Right.
I have just watched him play with full-grown rats like they're nothing. He wants them to get this true sense that, you know, even though they're 10 yards away and they're terrified, he wants them to run away. That's like the greatest pleasure he has. Anyway, but if you'll try giving the child cod liver oil internally and taping it on the foot, you'll probably see a significant change for the better. I really have a lot of confidence in what I'm telling you.
I believe you. I did Google it and saw some different things. One talked about duct tape, just put duct tape on there.
I realize that's the principle. Well, yeah, anything that creates what's called counter-irritation, what's going to happen is the immune system's going to go to the area and say, you know what, I really don't like all this chemical adhesive here. Let's get rid of it. And so you can do it that way, too. Yeah.
Okay.
But then again, would you agree, though, that if you give him cod liver oil or fish oil every day internally, that you are directly nourishing his body and brain?
Exactly. Well, and to me, it's a double, because it's on the foot going in and it's in the body coming out, you know, going through.
I know this is going to be a little bit ridiculous for me to say this, because you've probably heard this before, but in Africa, they notice that lions, when they live out on the Serengeti Plains, or they live out in the wild, they have no trouble reproducing whatsoever. None. They can reproduce anytime they want. They can breed. They can reproduce. They have tremendous litters of male and female cats. It's not a problem. But if you put them in the zoo and you only feed them steak, which is skeletal meat, they have an extremely hard time reproducing until they do what? Until they start giving them liver. And so what do you think cod liver oil is made from? It's made of a lot of the nutrition that's housed in the liver. So cod liver oil might be a superfood.
It might be. Sounds like it.
So all of a sudden now, when you feed lions in the zoo raw meaty bones that have marrow and nutrients, and you give them calf liver, guess what they do? They start reproducing just like they do in the wild. Mm-hmm. And you haven't ever heard of somebody having infertility problems, have you?
No.
Well, I have. And probably I've seen more people that in modern times, they just can't procreate or reproduce. But what happens when they start taking cod liver oil or another superfood oil? All of a sudden, they have the nutrients to generate tremendous fertility. So there's a lot of good nutrients in fish oil for your son. And I'm glad he's yours now.
Yeah.
So you're not gonna like give him to me so I can raise him, right?
Well, I might.
We might want to come play with him. I have some girls that like to play dress-up with him right now.
Oh, that would be lovely.
He wouldn't mind, would he?
Oh, no, not at all.
I bet he's all boy, isn't he?
He is, 100%.
Isn't that the way that you want it, though?
Yes, it's totally different, because my own, I just had a girl, and it's learning curve.
Well, your job today is to go to Walmart in Jacksonville. On their clearance aisle, they have these foam rubber shields and foam rubber swords, and the swords are selling for 10 cents each. Oh, it looks like a little Roman short sword.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, that's all my four-year-old wants to do is he wants to play attack, and I'm telling you what, my reflexes are getting a lot better, because I've got to be able to, like, I'm like a ninja black belt in karate having to parry short sword strikes and block them. But he's just all boy. That's what they love. See, there, I just blew 20 cents of your money today.
You did. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope that helps a whole bunch.
I do.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
I think that's the best 10-cent investment. Of course, I bought two swords because, man, I've got to defend myself. If you want to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good, Dr. Morgan. How are you this morning?
Oh, great. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
Well, I really enjoyed the program.
Well, thanks.
I have a couple of questions. Lately, in the last few weeks, I have discovered what a sciatic nerve and bursitis can do to you. It can stop you in your tracks.
Oh, no. Are they in the same location?
Mostly it was in the left side of my hip and down my left leg, but it did move. It moved to the right and right side of my hip, but not as much trouble as on the left. I'm a lot better. I was on a walker for about 2 or 3 days.
Oh,
couldn't
bless
stand
your
up
heart.
Straight. They put me on steroids and muscle spasm medicine, and and all this. And
that means you were in misery, weren't you?
I was debilitated. Yes,
oh, dear.
I was miserable. Thank the Lord, I am so much better now.
I mean, could you make it to the voting booth now if you had to and vote?
Oh, yes.
Would you make it to the voting booth when you felt horrible?
I don't know that I could have done
it. Oh, so it was bad. Oh, dear.
It was bad. It stopped me in my tracks, and I'm a very active person going all the time, and it just really stopped me. But thank goodness it is better now, but I want to maybe do some things that would prevent this.
Mm-hmm.
I was told vitamin D3, about 200 mm-hmm. or 2,000 milligrams a day.
Probably closer to five.
Five, mm-hmm. okay.
See, what they've done is they've done studies and they've shown that people that have chronic lower back pain, and I realize that's not your deal, I'm just giving you information, but there is a huge amount of reversal of chronic back pain just by taking vitamin D3. But the level they took for 3 months, I'm almost positive it was 10,000 units.
Wow.
Anyway,
okay.
So hopefully I didn't cut you off there. But no, keep going.
Well, just some stretches. I've tried to do some exercise. I've tried to not have prolonged periods of sitting between. I sit on my job, sit at the desk all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to get up periodically. Now I'm very more aware of getting up and not sitting, you know. Get up and just walk down the hall or try to do some stretches that you can do, you know, there at the office during the day. Any other suggestions? I certainly don't want this to reoccur again.
Well, I have a story for you, and it's probably going to be kind of boring, but here goes. In the middle 1990s, I literally had so much pain in my back. And, of course, most people that know me know that I probably like serving others. That's just the way that I'm wired. I mean, everybody has their own deal, right?
Right.
So in the 90s, my back just hurt constantly all day long. Of course, my claim to fame was just bending over, taking care of other people all day long. That's all I did. And so my back, I couldn't even turn over in the middle of the night without having just gut-wrenching pain in my lower back. Now, the vast majority of all mine was in my flank of my lower back on the left side. I mean, I was just constantly trying to pop my back and twist it. And, you know, I'm pretty gung-ho, meaning I'll try therapy if I think it's going to be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking to the person that definitely knows what it's like to have his back go out over and over and over. So I could tell you, one time I've been over in the shower to pick up a bar of soap. Big mistake. I was out of commission for 3 days. Then I tried putting a sheet on just the corner of a single bed for a child. Big mistake. I was out of commission for probably 4 days that time.
Wow.
Then I think I've been over to pick up a dime in the parking lot of Walmart. That threw me out of commission again.
Mm-hmm.
So I have lots of stories where my back has, quote, gone out. My back hasn't gone out in 15 years. But anyway, what I was going to say was, I was at Walmart one day, and there was a magazine, and there was a very brief article written by a gentleman by the name of Mark Verstegen. That's V-E-R-S-T-E-G-E-N, I think. Mark Verstegen. But he wrote a book called Core Performance, C-O-R-E. And I thought to myself, you know what? I looked at some of those illustrations of the exercises that he showed, and I thought to myself, I could try that. And so I purchased the book, and back then, there wasn't really Amazon.com in 1995 or 96 or 97. So, I mean, it's just almost ridiculous. I keep asking myself, how can they afford to ship a book, you know, for $2? But anyway.
Wow.
But I got the book in the mail, and I read the first chapter and the second chapter, and I think maybe it was chapter 3 and then chapter 4. You know, you lay the groundwork in the first two chapters, but I'm kind of information junkie, so that's right up my alley. But anybody else, I don't blame anyone if they just want to skip all that and just go right to the meat and potatoes of it. But they had the chapter that demonstrated exercises, I think it called prehab, if I'm not mistaken. But they showed very specific exercises. And so these exercises were different than anything else I'd ever tried before. And I always kind of considered myself kind of athletic. May not be athletic, but I thought of myself at the time as being athletic. Anyway, but to make a long story short, I just tried those first two chapters, and I didn't even get to chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 to try the advanced exercises. I just tried those. And I'll tell you what, for the first 3 weeks, I don't know that I really saw a great improvement, but around the 3.5 week mark, I'm telling you, everything seemed different. I didn't have that horrible, continual nagging ache in my back all the time and pain that would, you know, shoot into my flank and my leg when I would bend over. Wow. And so at that time I said, you know what, I think I'm onto something. Now the exercises in and of themselves, if you can look at a picture of a demonstration and you can get on the floor and try it, that's all you gotta have. But that for me was a very, very, very good set of tools. But the book is called Core Performance by Mark Verstegen. Okay. And I can tell you what, I loaned that book out so many times, but this last time, the person never returned it. I'm not going to mention their name on the radio, because they know who they are. But then again, seems like every time I loan a book to somebody, they develop amnesia. So I've had to kind of put a stop to loaning books, because they never come back. Anyway, but I need to buy another copy of it, because I think it was that valuable to me. Okay. But I would have no trouble going to Half Price Books and buying one for $5 if it was on sale, or buying a used copy from Goodwill. That doesn't bother me at all.
Okay. If
you only knew how many books I purchased online from Goodwill, you would go, really? You mean you found that book at the Tacoma, Washington Goodwill? I said, yep, for $2. And you look online brand new and they cost $60. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all to spend $2
on
a book. So that book is a very, very good reference point, and I think you're going to have tremendous benefit because you're a highly motivated woman.
Well, I try to be, and yeah. I certainly don't want to have any more back pain like that.
No.
I appreciate it. I will look for that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day, ma'am.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, there's a phone line open. We have exactly 12 minutes left in the program, give or take. Maybe more like 10 minutes. Plenty of time for a phone call. 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Hello, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I am very well. And I wanted to ask you, you know, I had prostate cancer some like 2-3 years ago, and you recommended to take some lemons and put the peel in juicer and drink that every morning. I did that for a couple of months, and I think it really helped me because after my treatment, I had very little trouble. My PSA went down, and I didn't have anything in the prostate anymore, trouble. So I was wondering if you recommend doing that every year or so for a month or so.
Oh, sure, that'd be fine. There is a very specific compound that is found in the rind or the peel of the lemon. It's a citric oil called limonene. And limonene, when it's consumed, but so like if somebody didn't want to do that, let's just say occasionally you want to use the zest of a lemon where you take a little grater and put it in a recipe or a salad or something. Some people like that. Usually you have to be from Switzerland, though, if you really like that, because...
I wouldn't know about that.
No, I know you wouldn't, but I realize this is very judgmental, but I've noticed that people from Switzerland are extremely intelligent. And we're better off by knowing people from Switzerland. But anyway, let me get back to the point. But limonene, it really helps your liver do a much better job of detoxification. So you and I are not better off by drinking a glass full of the chemical called Roundup. You know, that's what you spray on weeds to kill them, because it's a pesticide.
Yeah.
But we're better off if we have less Roundup in our body. But anyway, limonene, it helps detoxify pesticides and chemicals from the human body, which is going to be an ongoing challenge. If you're living here, or South America, or Kentucky, or Russia, or China, you're going to have pesticides. And so that's just one thing that all of us are going to have to contend with. I wish we didn't have to. So if your liver does a much better job of ridding your body of toxins, then you're better off for it. So that's where the lemon water can come in really handy, and that's where the zest of a lemon or a peel can come in handy. Yeah, I like your idea. That's great.
Oh, okay. Now, if we can just get rid of Obamacare, everything will be fine.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I knew you would agree. But, okay, thank you very much.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. Have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Y'all don't know this, but I won't even go into the 7-centimeter head. He knows it's. I thought it was funny. That's the only mistake I've ever made. Ha ha. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm a big fan.
Oh, you are? Well,
yes, I am.
Well, if you were here right now, I'd give you my autograph. Ha ha ha.
I'd take it and frame it.
There's probably much better things you can put on your wall. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. They're pretty full. About clearing arteries and lowering blood pressure.
Yes.
You mentioned hibiscus tea.
Well, hibiscus, it does a very good job as working as a natural angiotensin converting enzyme, so a blocker. So if you take hibiscus tea, it's been shown to help lower blood pressure.
3 glasses a day?
Sure.
Okay. How about L-arginine? Is that as good or better?
I don't think so. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, do you know what I have to sort through all day long?
What's that?
And I think I'm a very practical person. I think I can learn from anybody. But sometimes I see products that are touted almost like that they're medicines, and which I don't blame them for doing that.
Right.
But in the real world, if we put something to the test and it doesn't work as well as it's touted, then I begin to question, well, is this just another sales pitch? Because you get the same sales pitches. I mean, don't you get information in the mail about this super, you know, human supplement that you can only buy from one company?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, do you mind if I try to kill two birds with one stone?
Go ahead.
All right. Since God is the designer of inositol hexaphosphate, he gets the complete credit for its design and creation, but it's found in rice bran. And so you may have heard me refer to a substance that usually goes by the short designation IP6, but that stands for inositol hexaphosphate, hexa referring to the number 6. If it was octo, it would be 8. You've never heard of the octo mom, have you? Never. Or an octo. I should have said an octopus. But anyway. But the inositol hexaphosphate, it does several things that could be very, very advantageous to a human being living on this planet that's exposed to toxins. Number one, it helps induce flexibility and suppleness of the arteries. Oh, that's exactly what you want, because the stiffer that arteries become, or the harder they become, if I can say it that way, don't you think that your heart has no choice? It just has to pump a lot harder to push blood through hard arteries?
Of course.
But if your arteries are more flexible, oh, now that's what you really want. You want to have a heart that doesn't have to work that hard. Because the harder the heart works, the sooner it's going to become exhausted and play out, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so inositol hexaphosphate has been shown to clear and clean arteries.
And where do you get that?
Well, it comes. It's a nutritional supplement.
Spell it, please.
Oh no, you're going to make me spell it. That means I have to get a sheet of. Here you go. Let me spell it first. Okay, first word is inositol.
Starts with an A?
All right.
Oh.
With an I.
I. Oh, okay.
I is in I love you.
Okay.
I-N-O-S-I-T-O-L. Inositol. Hexaphosphate. Let me spell that one now. Okay, hexaphosphate, H-E-X-A.
Mm-hmm.
And then phosphate. P-H-O-S-P-H-A-T-E. Inositol hexaphosphate.
And that's in rice bran?
Well, that's where they derive it from. I mean, you will find some of this naturally occurring in asparagus. Not a lot, but more than any other vegetable, probably. You're going to find some probably found in Swiss chard, but I think maybe the common food that you and I would probably have access to, it'd probably be walnuts.
Oh, I love walnuts.
But here's probably what I want to say. You know as well as I do that depending on the season and the weather and the rainfall and the sunshine and how this goes and that goes, mm-hmm. that's going to determine how good a walnut crop you're going to have, right?
Yes.
And not every year is what I would call a bumper crop, because maybe some years you just don't get the right weather that's conducive to making a bumper crop of walnuts or pecans. Do you have any pecan trees at the house?
I do. I have three.
Okay. Well, do they all just produce a bumper crop every year?
No. Last year it was very poor.
Okay. So that's exactly my point. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I like using this extract of rice bran is because the three universal healers are going to be time, patience, and consistency. And this is the one way that you can be very, very consistent.